It's good to sing the name of Jesus, isn't it? Hallelujah. Refreshes your soul as you sing his name. God is good. Hallelujah. We want to continue, thank you, worship team, with Daniel here this morning. By the way, if there are notes up here, there's two notes. So make sure you get both. The first one is the section we're not going to cover, which is the beginning of chapter 10 all the way to 11:35. We're going to take 36 on to the end of chapter 11. And then go into chapter 12. Well, if we get done with this part, the next one will be Daniel chapter 12. And then we're done with Daniel. And then we might go into Revelation, or we might ask some of the young guys, to share on a Wednesday night. Some guys like David, Jimmy, you know what I mean? I don't know. We'll get them to share here on a Wednesday night. So, yeah. And by the way, when you're here too, there's in the back, in the box, is a prayer guide. This is by the Voice of the Martyrs. It's a prayer guide for praying around the world. And so if you want to take one now, you can, but please don't take another one on Sunday morning. So you got your choice. You can take one this evening. They're in the back in a box. Or you can take them on Sunday morning, whatever you want to do. And then outside we have, you know, we have these three books. I don't know if anybody got a copy of each one. So you can get each, you can get one for $4.99 each, or the whole package for $9.99, and then we'll throw in these three extra. Or you can take them for free. How's that? So they're out there, and if you want to take them, please take them. And by the way, one is an interview with James Dobson and Jimmy Stewart on Wonderful Life. It's out in the back out there. An interview that was done many, many years ago when Jimmy Stewart talked to James Dobson about doing The Wonderful Life. It's very interesting, so you might want to... You find out that he was truly a Christian man and loved doing It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, so before we start in Daniel chapter 11, I thought we would just review, because we haven't been here for a couple of weeks. I hope you had a good Christmas and a good New Year's. And so as we start, I just wanted to review again. You know, Daniel is an exceptional man, an exceptional prophet too. Aside from just receiving words from God, you see his heart in the way he prayed. He was concerned about his people. He was concerned about the temple. He was concerned certainly about Jerusalem, the holy city. You know, we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are told in scriptures that we should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And by the way, what does Jerusalem mean? Does anybody know what Jerusalem means? The city of peace. And so obviously if we're asked to pray, you know, for the city of Jerusalem, we're asked to pray for peace, because obviously there is no peace in the city of peace. And so, you know, we need to pray. And Daniel here was concerned, he was excited, he was curious about the end times, what would happen. And the reason was that he had read in Jeremiah 25, again, verse 12, that after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. God is calling. Okay. See what he has to say here. Okay. So Daniel knew that in 70 years, that God was going to do something new. He was going to, as it says, he was going to punish the Babylonians. Now, what did that mean for his people? He had no idea. But he, as he's reading the scripture, it is the 70th year. And so he realizes that God is going to do something, but he wasn't quite sure what God was going to do. And so he prays and he asks God, you know, Lord, what's going to happen? And so we read now in Daniel chapter 9, now therefore, O God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy and for your own sake, O Lord. Make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our place before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. You know, and I think, you know, we have to understand again that you certainly don't want to cry out for God's justice, but we cry out for his mercy. And so the angel, God sends the angel, we think it was Gabriel, to Daniel to talk to him about the 77s, as we went over. At the end of Israel's history, there would be 77s or 490 years, of which, by the way, 483 of those years have gone by. There's only seven that are left. And we have this great, if you will, time period between the 483 and the last seven, of course, and that is the time of the Gentiles that we're living in. God is bringing in the Gentiles into his church. But again, we will see at the end of time, and we'll see what Daniel's going to tell us to a little bit more, and then in the book of Revelation, that those last 7 years are going to be horrendous for this planet called Earth, and certainly for the people that are here. Okay, so, and then we went to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel receives the last of his four visions here, and the last one is the longest one. It starts at the beginning of chapter 10, and it goes all the way through to the end of the book, which is Daniel chapter 12. But we don't have time to go all through that, and much of it we've already covered anyway. And so the angel brings him this vision, and he receives the inference here. Remember that, I don't have it. I can't believe it. Yeah, there it is. That for some reason, as Daniel's praying and waiting for an answer, that God sends an angel, but he can't get to Daniel because there's a warfare going up in the heavenlies. And it says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. In other words, in the heavenly of heavenlies. By the way, has anybody read This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti? We have a few. Okay. If you've never read the book, it's a fictional book, but it's a great book to understand a little bit about the dimensions of spiritual warfare and the different groupings of principalities and angels. And so we have this, a principality that was over the kingdom of Persia. Now notice he mentions Persia. Why? Because Babylon had fallen and the Medo-Persia kingdom now was established. And so here in Persia there is this principality, this angel who had dominion over that particular kingdom. And of course now as God sends an angel to bring a message to Daniel, he's stopped by this angel in the heavenlies and prevented from getting to Daniel for 21 days. Michael, who's an archangel, had to come and help in the battle in order to release this angel so that he could go to Daniel and then explain to Daniel what God wanted to say to him. That's in chapter 10, which we've gone over too, so just so you know. But now we're in chapter 11. Okay, the first part of chapter 11 deals with the intertestamental period. In other words, if you recall, what happens is that the book of Malachi is the ending of the Old Testament. Then there's approximately 400 years before the book of Matthew is written. We call it the intertestament period. Now, there happens to be other books that were written during this time. They're known as the Apocrypha. We believe as Christians that they are not inspired by God. There are other churches who believe they are. We don't believe they're inspired because they were never put into the canon of Scripture. They are extra books. They're good for history, some history, but again, we don't declare them as truth because we don't believe they are truth. There are other churches who believe they are. We don't. And that's why in some of those areas, I hate to get into these areas, but there are some churches who believe you can pray for the dead, because that's in the book of Maccabees, which is an intertestament book. But we believe, because they are not truthful, they don't tell us the truth, that you really can't pray for the dead anymore. They're dead. They're, wherever they are, they are. As a matter of fact, we're told to be absent from the body for Christians is to be what? Present with the Lord. So again, if you're not a Christian, then you're not present with the Lord. You're somewhere else. And of course, we don't like to talk about that place, but it's hell. Two destinations, heaven or hell. And so, again, we believe as Christians that once you die, your spirit and soul passes on somewhere. Either goes to heaven, back to the Lord, or it goes to a place where you're kept until final judgment is held. And so, we're in this intertestament period at the beginning of chapter 11. And as we get to the ending of 1135, he's talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, which we talked about. He was the Greek king who goes into the Holy of Holies, or he goes into the temple with a pig, and he defiles the temple. And because he defiles the temple priests now no longer can go in there because they believe the temple has now been defiled. So we call it, if you will, the abomination of desolations. It's abominated because it was defiled. It's desolated because the priest would not enter it anymore after what he did. And so, again, by the way, Epiphanes, Antiochus is his name. Epiphanes was the title he was given. It means manifestation of God. He believed he was a manifestation of God. He believed he was a God when he went in there. Okay, so 35 ends. Now we start 36. Now we believe, as we look at Daniel, that verse 36 changes. It moves from Antiochus Epiphanes, now, who was the type, to what we believe is the Antichrist, who is now the substance. And if you notice, there are the three reasons why. The first one is that this king that's mentioned here now in verses 36 to 45 is a different king. And he's opposed by both the south and the north kingdoms. Both kingdoms are going to fight this king. And not only that, but the facts of what we're about to hear certainly didn't agree with anything that Antiochus Epiphanes did. Nothing at all. Or any king that we've ever seen. This is someone we've never seen yet on this place called Earth. And of course, the last one was Daniel had already discussed this man who would be coming in these chapters, chapter 7 and then chapter 9, and there are the verses. So let's read now. Again, this is another long reading, forgive me, but let's read it. And the king shall do as he wills. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods. He shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for what is decreed shall be done. He shall pay no attention to the gods of his fathers, or to the one beloved by women. He shall not pay attention to any other god, for he shall magnify himself above all. He shall honor the god of fortresses, decreed. What happened there? Fortresses instead of these. A god whom his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. And by the way, let me just stop there for a moment. Notice it says, a god which his fathers did not know. I would suggest that you open your mind here a little bit when you hear some of these scriptures. A god that his fathers did not know. Now, we're living in a new age. We're living in a very technological age right now. This god that he's talking about does not have to be a person. Doesn't have to be a person. It could be something else. And that's why I'm saying, you know, as we look at these things, don't just get confined. Allow your mind to wander a little bit, to understand really what some of these things might be. A god in whom his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He shall deal with the strongest fortresses with the help of a foreign god. Those who acknowledge him, he shall load with honor. He shall make them rulers over many and shall divide the land for a price. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, but the king of the north shall rush upon him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he shall come into the countries and shall overflow and pass through. He shall come into the glorious land, and tens of thousands shall fall, but these shall be delivered out of his hand, Edom and Moab and the main part of the Ammonites. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall become ruler of the treasures of gold and of silver, and all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Cushites shall follow in his train. But news from the east and the north shall alarm him, and he shall go out with a great fury to destroy and devote many to destruction. And he shall pitch his palatial tents between the sea and the glorious high mountain, yet he shall come to his end with none to help him. Okay, so there's the story, if you will, of what Daniel is about to tell us, of what we call, because again, we've gone to those of you who have studied this know that in the book of Revelation and 2 Thessalonians talks about the Antichrist. And as he started, the Antichrist will come as a man of peace, we're told, offering answers to the world's problems. And by the way, do you think the world has problems? We have problems we don't even understand. We're living in America. If you were in France right now, you would see their problems. If you were in Spain, you'd know their problems. If you were in Greece, you would see their problems. There are problems all around us. It doesn't matter where you go, there are problems. You know, and as Andy alluded to at the beginning when he was talking, and we're going to talk a little bit about this Sunday, you know, our country, whether or not you believe it or not, is in a civil war. We have a civil war. This civil war is just as bad as the civil war we fought back in 1865. Just as bad right now. The country is so greatly divided. There is violence going on. People are being killed that shouldn't be killed because of all of these issues. And yet, we don't see any solutions. No one is coming up with solutions. We would rather stand in our camps, build our walls, and fight each other than coming to any solutions. This man that we're going to talk about now, he's a man that will come with some answers. And people are going to fall at his feet listening to his answers, whatever they might be. He will be wicked, he will be selfish, and he will be evil. And if you don't believe that, let's start with what I call the nine traits that are mentioned in the scripture we just read. The first one, he says, and the king shall do as he wills. He will be totally focused upon his own personal ambition, not caring about the people that he's a king over. Now, he's going to get public support. He's going to get political power. And because of that, people are going to flock to him for his answers. They're going to believe that this man has the answers to the world's problems. He's going to bring peace for the first 3.5 years. You know, and as we're going now, we don't see peace at all. Now, I'm not just talking about the peace of men shooting and bombing and killing each other. I'm talking about even the peace of soul, just peace of walking in a neighborhood and not having to worry about being terrorized or something robbed. And this particular man will have some answers, but he's going to do as he wills. Okay, and the second point as mentioned here is that he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Now, that's a little g god, just so we understand at this particular moment. Yet, he's going to use religion to secure his position of power. You know, that's why now we've all heard of the fact that at the end times there'll be a one world government. In other words, these ten, whatever they are, whether they're from the Roman Empire, by the way, from the Roman Empire, again, keep your mind open. When you think of the Roman Empire, we think of the Roman Empire as it was situated in Rome, and then we look to Europe to be the 10-member nation that eventually this world Antichrist will come from. Well, keep in mind, though, that the Roman Empire had two capitals. One was in Rome, and the other one was where? Does anybody know? Was Constantine, or Constantinople, which is in what country? Turkey. It was in Turkey. And Turkey happens to be what kind of country today, religious-wise? Muslim. Again, so what I'm trying to have you think here is sometimes, you see, the old traditional view was always that the Roman Empire, this 10-member nation, would come from the Roman Empire. But there are views that say, no, it's going to come from a caliphate that's going to develop in what we call the Muslim Empire because of where the other capital of Rome was, which is Constantinople or Turkey. Because the countries that are mentioned are Syria and Egypt. These are the two big countries now at the end times, and Turkey. And so, again, keep your mind open as you see the world things developing, that it does not have to be Europe. It could be a Muslim empire that starts to develop together as a 10-country nation that comes together, just as we think could happen with Europe. Okay, which, by the way, already is, although they have more than 10 countries. So he says they will exalt himself above all gods. And so therefore, he's going to set up a one-world government and, we believe, a one-world religion. In other words, everybody's going to have to conform to whatever religion this is. We don't know what it is. It could be something new. It could be just a humanistic religion. It could be the Muslim faith. It could be, some of the views are the Pope and Catholicism. Whatever it is, it won't be a one world religion. We know at the same time he wants to set up a one world economic system whereby trade, selling and buying is done and through a one world currency, which probably will not be the American dollar, just so you know that. So you better save your gold and silver, right, Andy? Okay, so point three, shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods. The Antichrist will curse the Lord, blaspheming his holy name. Now, that's amazing to me that he would do this. A rejection of the Christian God he will come against and blaspheme. By the way, just so you understand, here in America, you know, you don't hear the name Jesus proclaimed anymore like you did back in the 50s and 60s. You know, here we do it in the churches, but out there in what we call the marketplace, You don't hear the word Jesus. You don't see politicians, too many of them. Matter of fact, very, very often, forgive me here, they put their tail between their legs, and instead of mentioning Jesus, they'll talk about God. But God could infer what? Any God. The Muslim God, the Hindu God, the Buddhist God, whatever. It could any God. There's only one God. And men today are just afraid to speak the truth. By the way, did anybody hear about the report that just came out about the traditional masculinity? Is anybody watching Fox lately? Did you hear about that? The American Psychological Society now has put out a 32-page report on the fact that traditional masculinity is bad for men. It's bad for men. Traditional masculinity. You guys, you know what you're playing sports and all that's no good. It is no good. Traditional masculinity is no good. I mean, I don't know where we're going, but we are not going really in the right spot here, wherever. But at any rate, so again, he is going to blaspheme the God of God. He's going to blaspheme the Lord. So now, again, whether we're around or not to hear this, we certainly see that that could very well happen at any moment. Okay. He shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for what is decreed shall be done. The Antichrist will be used by the Lord as his agent of judgment upon the wicked of the world. This evil tyrant will be very successful. And by the way, he will come against God's church, and God is going to allow him to even, if you will, be a judgment on God's church. So there'll be a time of wrath that comes on in human history, this period of tribulation. And the Antichrist, if you will, is going to be unaware of what's really going to follow, even though, you know, he might think that he knows. He's really just going to be doing these things. He doesn't realize he's an agent of God to be used by God to come against sin and the suffering that has been caused by sin for thousands of years. Let's keep going here before we. He shall pay no attention to the gods of his fathers. And again, I want to make sure I got some time. The Antichrist will reject the religion of his people, or the people, his people. So we don't know what this is. Again, we don't know if he's rejecting Christianity. We don't know if he's rejecting the Muslim faith. We have no idea. Until this man shows up, we have no idea what he's going to do. But he's going to be rejecting the faith of his fathers. By the way, there are some believe that he could be Jewish, in effect, and even reject his Jewish faith. So, you know, we're not sure, but we do know that he will reject, according to Daniel, the faith of his fathers, the gods of his fathers. And so we might not know what it is, but we do know what he's going to do. Okay, let's go on. He shall pay no attention to the one beloved by women. Now, by the way, does anybody have King James here? Does anybody have a King James Bible? No King James Bible. Let me write these names down. That nobody has a King James. Don't have the official authorized version, the King James Bible, the one that's blessed by God, honored. You don't have that. Gee. Can you get it online? If you could, get Daniel 11:37 for me. I just want you to hear what it says in the King James concerning this particular version. Okay, so the desire of women, it says, the desire of women. Now, some people take that verse and believe he's talking about homosexuality. So, but that's not the case. Because when he's talking about the desire of women, he's talking about a person. And who would be the desire of women? Now, remember, this is Daniel, and he's talking about his Jewish brethren. The Jewish women were lining up to have male babies because they thought that their firstborn male baby would be the Messiah, the desire of women. Women wanted to give birth to the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah had to come from a Jewish woman, and they wanted to give birth to find out who would be the which one would give birth to the Messiah. which would be Jesus, of course. He would be the desire of women. So he shall pay no attention to the one beloved by women. And that would be Jesus. Now, of, he's not saying anything between men and women here. He's just saying that this was the desire of women to give birth to the Messiah. And so he says, though, that he will pay no attention to this. He's not even going to count this. This doesn't count. This is all baloney. You know, again, and you can hear people today who discredit the Christian religion, and they say the Bible is just a book of stories. It's all unreal. There never was a man called Jesus. None of this ever happened. And people say these things. They just make up lies. They say it, and people believe it. The Antichrist is going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, having no regard whatsoever for him and what he's done. He doesn't care. Okay, and then in next he says, he shall pay no attention. Is that, did we just do that? No, he shall pay no attention to any other god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Again, this is just, he reemphasizes the fact that he will have no respect for any other god, no matter what it is, only himself, just himself. He was going to exalt himself above everything, no matter what it is. And so he's going to attack religion. He's going to attack all forms of worship. That's why when we do get a one world religion, more than likely it will be the worship of him. Okay, and then in verse 38 it says, he shall honor the god of fortresses instead of these, a god whom his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver and precious stone and costly gifts. And as my note there is, the Antichrist will honor the imperial state as the supreme power, and to whom all citizens will owe their allegiance. In other words, the Antichrist is going to set up a government, a state, this imperial state that everybody needs to belong to. And that's exactly what he's going to do. And by the way now, just so we get this here, and we're going to talk a little bit about this on Sunday, maybe just a little bit, but we're living in a free nation. Well, although our freedoms right now are questionable, but you know, we're living in a nation that is different from many, many other democracies that have been set up, many other nations. We don't have a king like many of the European nations had. We don't have a church that's running a country just like many of the European nations had. If it wasn't a king, it was the church. They kept battling with each other. We don't have that. We have a government that is supposed to be, it says, we the people. It's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Yes, we have elected officials who run the government for us, but we are not supposed to have in this country what we call the imperial state. Our government is run by the people. Although today we have a lot of problems with even believing that, but that's really what our government was set up to be, not an imperial state that is run by a dictator, or in this case, an antichrist, who will have what we call a god of forces or fortresses, a god of economic and world government and even, if you will, political power and military power too. And he will have this power over all, if you will, the human race that's there. Everything that, buying and selling and everything that has to do with the state government. He shall deal with the strongest fortresses with the help of a foreign god. Those who acknowledge him, he shall load with honor. He shall make them rulers over many and shall divide the land for a price. And so here we see that the Antichrist will gain power by both military conquests, and it's certainly in Revelation we'll see that, and also peaceful, if you will, negotiations of treaties among nations. He's going to be good at this at the beginning. That's why in the first 3.5 years, there's peace. Because he goes through these negotiations of peace with the other 9 nations that are there. And so whatever the case, though, he's going to use his military power at some point to destroy all those that oppose him. And by the way, he will have a mighty military power, the likes of which perhaps we've never seen even today. Who knows what could be developed, but it's still coming yet in the future. Okay, so the nations that refuse to come under his control, he's going to crush. Just like Adolf Hitler did in World War II, He's going to go in there and start taking them over one at a time. Okay, I think we'll end there because we're past time here, right? Yeah. We'll end here. We're not done yet. We still have more to go in chapter 11 before we get to chapter 12. Let me just mark mine. Okay, does anybody have any questions? Yes. Well, yeah, there'll be problems. The world's going to have problems. He's going to come to bring in peace. So obviously there's going to be a lot going on in the world that these countries are going to say, this guy, we want this guy to run not the world, not all the world, but certainly these 10 nations, whatever they might be. We want him because he's got answers. He's got solutions to our problems, whether they be monetary problems, military problems, religious problems. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to, they're going to love him. For the first 3.5 years, they're going to love him. Yeah, they'll love him. I don't know, maybe his name might, no, that's not okay. So anybody else have any questions here? And now, you know, by the way, we're sitting here. This has been prophesied. These things will come to pass. I mean, now, my time is winding down. You young guys, I'm looking at some of you young guys, you the next generation raising up. I mean, if he doesn't come in my lifetime, he could come in your lifetime, this guy. And so you need to be aware of this. Again, have any of you seen the Left Behind series, the movies with Kurt Cameron when he first did those? I remember the beginning of that and where all the people are gone. The rapture has taken place now and these people are left behind. And the only thing they have is they have the Bible, of course, yet. But they have a couple of TV programs that they're looking at where the preacher is preaching about the end times and they realize, well, we're living in them now. All of those people got raptured out of here. We need to go out and save as many as we can now because this guy is coming and he's going to take over the world and we're really going to be in trouble. And so, again, I'm not saying all of these things are true, these movies or these stories, but they just give you a little background as to what the scriptures are trying to portray here, because again, we don't understand it all. We do have the scriptures. We can understand what is going to be prophesied, what will come, but we're not there yet. So this is in the future. How much of the future? I don't know if there's too much of the future left here. And let me explain the reason why I believe that. First of all, two reasons. First one is America. I've always considered to be America is man's last greatest experiment. We are the country that brought in people from all ethnicities, all countries, into a melting pot. And this was supposed to be the country that would work it all out, that everyone could come together, blend in, and we could have one great thing, and we would be a showcase to the world. Well, that is quickly dying now in America. And the second reason is, of course, the time clock started in 1947 when Israel became a nation. And so if you count a generation as 70 years, it would be 2017, and therefore we're very close here. You know, we're somewhere. Something's going on. As we look around, something's going on. Israel, although it's a nation, only has 11 million people, and there are 100 million, or whatever the number is, around them of Muslims who want to do away with Israel. And so something is going to happen, and it could happen very soon. And if that happens, you know, it'll be 7 years, and Jesus will come back. And so some of us could be around, some of us not. But you know that these things are going to happen. By the way, you chose this topic. This is what you guys chose. You wanted to learn about. So, okay, Gary? Right.
Why didn't God know which angel
was sent to take care of business? Well, again, I think the whatever the principality was over Persia obviously was of a greater dimension than the angel that God sent. So you're right. So why didn't God send? Well, but again, I think because God wanted really to send Michael to get into the battle, into the fray also, because this really was to give us here in this century, if you will, a picture of what spiritual warfare is like. You pray for things to happen in your families, right? You're praying for salvation for somebody, for restoration of marriages, of kids that might, you know, or have gone astray or whatever. And you pray to God, and you've been praying for years, and you're saying, God, you know, I've been praying. I don't see anything. They're still out there wandering around, or this relationship is still terrible. Nothing's going right. Are you listening to my prayers? Well, it could be that there's a spiritual warfare that God is fighting in the heavenlies for you that you don't know about. Don't give up. You keep praying. You hang in there. God is hearing your prayers. He is hearing your prayers. He is dispatching angels on your behalf. But there is a warfare that's going on that we don't see, we don't understand. Well, you got to hang in there and keep praying, keep believing, and God will come through. Again, I tell the story of D.L. Moody praying for two men that he knew very well. And on D.L. Moody's deathbed, right before he died, one got saved, and the other one didn't get saved, and Moody went on to be with the Lord. And 6 months or a year later, the other guy got saved. Now, he never saw it, but he prayed for 50 years for those two guys. One got saved as he was dying. The other one he never knew about, but he knew it in heaven, got saved after. And so we don't know. We don't know about God's timing. We don't know what's going up on in the heavenlies. But we need to keep on praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting God that God is listening to your prayer and he's going to answer it. Now, of course, we know the answer could be yes, no, or maybe. But when it comes to salvation, I don't think God is saying no. You know, he's not saying no to your prayer. He's saying, listen, you don't understand. Here's the chessboard. I got to move 50 little moves here before I can get the one you're praying for, you know, back home. And it might take 20 years to do that. But you got to keep praying and believing that God's going to do it. Have faith in what God is. Have faith in, who do we have faith in? God, not faith in faith. Faith has no power, no power in faith. The power comes from God because you have faith in God. Okay, anything else? Anybody else want to share anything? We're good? Okay, hallelujah. Father, again, as always, we thank you for your goodness to us. You know, even as we listen to Daniel, as he continues to cry out to you and we hear about these things, they're not to bring fear upon us. Actually, they're supposed to bring faith upon us, that we know the story. We know how it ends. Jesus wins. And so we thank you for it. We thank you that we can live a victorious life in Christ. Bless your people now as we leave this day in Jesus' name. Amen.